Welcome to the Lucid Ess podcast, where I explore everything, because I believe in the infinite, unbounded potential within each of us. This is Shelley, a fellow seeker and a lover of life's mysteries. I invite you to join me and explore your uncharted depths. The story I'm going to share with you today is one that I wrote when I was living in Beaufort, South Carolina in 2021, and it has a very intriguing beginning. I was in South Carolina writing my autobiography, and I came to a point where it was getting too difficult to write, and I needed to take a break. So I called home, and I spoke with my daughter and said, hey, I need to write something else, and I just don't know what to write. So I asked her to tell me the name of a town, and she did some searching, and she came back to me and said, Onaga, Kansas. And I said, okay. And apparently she said it's like the smallest town in the United States. And then I asked her husband to give me something, and he said, a toothpick. And I called my son and asked him to give me something, and he said, a pocket watch. And then I called a girlfriend and asked her to tell me something, and she said, MMA fighting. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take these four things that have been given me, and I'm going to write a story. But I had a problem. I have an incredible aversion to any kind of fighting. It scares me. It makes me sick. It's not something I can watch or have any interest in because it's so terrible. So I thought, how? And at first I was like, well, I'll just leave it out or I'll ask someone else. And I thought, no, I'm gonna find a way. So I thought, how am I possibly going to incorporate MMA fighting into a story when I know nothing about MMA fighting and I certainly can't go watch it because it's too difficult for me. So I thought about it for a while, and you'll see how I chose to incorporate MMA fighting in this story, and also the toothpick, the pocket watch, and Onaga, Kansas. And before I read the story, I want to tell you this is one of my favorite stories. The story just came out of nowhere and unfolded so beautifully before me. I don't want to say too much. But it is, to this day, one of my very, very favorite stories. So I read this story to you with a great deal of love and appreciation for wherever those stories come from. Shade of Red. I can see black and white, just like you, and lots of gray, but I can't see color. So when I tell you his pocket watch has a red letter P on it, it isn't because I can see red. It's because my mom told me. But she isn't here. It's just me and Pocket in the locker room. Pocket is his fight name, but not because of his pocket watch. He got his name because he could pound a guy into a pocket. But that was a long time ago, before Pocket had a long beard. My mom told me Pocket hates crowds, so when he was a fighter, he trained in the middle of nowhere. That's why he was in Onaga, Kansas, where nobody lives, just my mom and grandpa. My grandpa fought Pocket sometimes, but just for practice, because my grandpa didn't want to end up in his pocket. Baby, your grandpa fought the toughest man in America, and I watched. I was just a little girl, but I watched. That's how I learned to fight. My mom was leaning against the ropes when she said that to me. I can see her like yesterday, with a toothpick dangling from her lips. That was how she told me things, leaning against the ropes, with a toothpick in her mouth. But she isn't here. It's only me and Pocket. And I'm watching him wind his pocket watch with the red letter P that looks gray, to me anyway. Ready? Pocket says. I nod. My mom and I never said anything before fights. It didn't matter which of us was going into the ring. We knew how the other felt. Tight in the stomach. ache in the back of the head, thuds in the heart. It wasn't worth saying how we felt because we both knew. And we knew that once we were inside the ring, all of those feelings would disappear because in there, there's nothing but fist and foot and elbow and knee. Pocket opens two folding chairs and sets them in a small space between the rows of lockers. He turns one of them backwards to him. That's the one I'll sit on. But first I slide the small container in my hand beneath the band of my sports bra. Then I take a seat, straddling the chair backwards. Pocket drapes a towel over the back of my chair, and an official MMA logo stares at me. It's so familiar I could draw it from memory. Two outlines of bodies frozen in fight. Mixed martial arts is typed beneath the logo. My mom told me the logo is bright red, but it's all shades of gray to me, as gray as my own blood, which I've been wiping on these towels for years. I call them mom's towels because she won so many of them in her fights. Right arm, Pocket says. He taps the towel staring at me, and I rest my right arm on it. Pocket slides the other chair closer to me and then sets his pocket watch on one knee. He unzips his small bag and removes the gauze, tape, and scissors. Open, Pocket says. I spread my right hand open as wide as I can. I gotta do whatever the hell I can think of inside those ropes if I want to walk out. And that takes every nick of finger I got. Wider, Pocket says. I clench my teeth and force my fingers to grow in every direction. Got your mom's knuckles, Pocket says, as he wraps gauze around my forearm and wrist. Pocket is the best cut man in the business, and I'm lucky he's here. He doesn't rap for just anybody. I'm barely old enough to fight professional MMA, to fight women who kill with their eyes. But I'm not afraid, because my mom taught me how to stare down my opponent. My mom was the queen of stare. That's why it's so weird that she put me in ballet when I was 5. I hated it. I even cried when the teacher told me I had to smile. That's when my mom let me go back to the gym with her, still wearing my pink tutu and tights. And that was the first day I followed my mom into the ring, and I trained alongside her, pink tutu and all. I remember that tutu. I wore it into shreds. And then I wore pink tights every day. I wore pink because I like the way it sounds. Pink. Plus, I'd heard the word my whole life. Pink kicks ass. I watch Pocket as he wraps the gauze between my thumb and index finger, and then he pulls it under my palm and over my knuckles. His hands are faster than wind, smoother than water. He must have been so good in the ring. I wish I could have seen him. My mom said he's still the best fighter she ever saw. Ever. Pocket loops the gauze around my knuckles before grabbing a small cotton pad. This knuckle pad isn't much protection, just a thin layer that allows my knuckles to feel every crack of bone on bone. Baby, you've got more heart than anybody, even me. When my mom whispered those words into my ear, the whole arena was screaming. I'm still the youngest girl to win a junior title. The crowd was so loud, they might have made me deaf, but all I could hear was my mom, how proud she was of me. I would have been screaming too, but I could hear my mom draining away. She was so sick, but she didn't talk about it. My mom and me, we're fighters. Open, Pocket says. He wraps the knuckle pad into place before securing it with a loop around my thumb, twice more. Pocket wraps firm, but he's careful not to choke my thumb. He knows I won't walk out of that ring if I can't use my thumb. I know exactly what Pocket will do next because he wraps the same as my mom. Pocket was her cut man, and she was my cut man. She had to be my cut man because nobody knew how to wrap my tiny hands. There weren't any girls my age, not for a long time, so my mom sliced tape into strips so skinny they would fit between my fingers and around my thumb. Pocket circles my thumb with tape one last time, and then he wraps the gauze in the opposite direction, moving down my wrist and forearm. "Fist," Pocket says. I squeeze my hand into a fist and Pocket grips it with both of his. He presses hard all around my fist until the gauze molds into one piece which covers my hand. "Open," Pocket says. "Fist," Pocket says. "Open, fist, open, fist." Pocket repeats this until he's certain. Then he checks the pocket watch on his knee. He's got such confidence. I know he won every stare contest. Pocket sets the gauze aside and reaches for the tape. It too is shades of gray to me, even though my mom says it comes in lots of colors. She tried to explain how colors feel, especially red, but blood doesn't look the way my mom described. Fighting is just shades of gray to me. I can't see the red that she feels. "Fist," Pocket says. He begins to tape my wrist over the layer of gauze, and I grip tight until the tape reaches the base of my hand. Baby, nothing strangles a hand faster than tape, and there's no knowing what you'll need to do on those ropes, so make sure your tape doesn't strangle. I'm lucky my mom knew so much. I never had to explain anything to her. The explosion of power I feel when I step into the ring, or the thrill of seeing fight in another woman's eyes, or the roar of blood when the crowd surges. My mom already knew everything. "Open," Pocket says. He wraps from thumb to wrist twice, then tears the tape and presses the loose end closed. "Turn it over," Pocket says. This is my favorite part, when the top of my hand is dissected by three strands of tape, each one following the canal between my knuckles, my mom's knuckles. This is also when he takes the gauze off the palm of my hand, which allows me to grab things even better. Pocket finishes all of this so fast, I almost miss it. Open, fist, Pocket repeats. He watches the movement of the wrap, he checks every piece, and when he's certain, he checks the watch on his knee and grunts. He secures the three dissecting strands with tape, but he leaves my knuckles with only the thin knuckle pad over them. The MMA rules are super strict. They want fighters to feel their knuckles come in contact with whatever they're hitting. "Fist, and keep it tight." Pocket smacks my hand over and over, giving the gauze and tape a hard packing. "Grab my arm, hard." He yanks his arm back as I hold on. "Fingers and thumb feel good?" I nod. He checks his pocket watch. "Other hand." I stretch my left hand wide, then grit my teeth and force it wider. "Baby, leave no trace and you'll gain respect. But first, leave no trace." I never leave a trace. My opponents are simply different shades of gray. But not like the gray after Mom died. That gray is, I don't know, maybe it's how some people see blood. It's too red to describe. Pocket presses the final strip of tape into place and holds his huge palms before his chest. "Smack here. Hard." I smack one fist at a time into his palms. He grabs each in his fist, squeezing and yanking, pressing and molding. When he's sure, when he's certain, he checks his pocket watch and nods again. Then he places all the supplies into his bag. "You got her fight too," Pocket says, and then he leaves the locker room. I slip the case from my sports bra and unscrew the metal lid. It's made for waterproof matches, but I've never put a match inside. This is where I keep my mom's last toothpick. She died so fast, she didn't leave a trace. Just a toothpick on her nightstand. This is when I do my ritual. Everybody has one. Some are complicated, but mine's pretty simple. I kiss my mom's toothpick along the side, then press the sharp tip into the skin below my eyes. After that, I hold the toothpick between the tips of my fingers so that the points press into my flesh. Right thumb on one end of the toothpick and left thumb on the other end of the toothpick. I do this for all my fingers, from my index down through my pinkies. This is how I make sure the tape isn't strangling my hand, because I can feel the tip of every finger. Pocket's wrap is as good as my mom told me, and I wish she was with me. I wish she could hear the crowd in the arena. They're chanting like I've already won the fight. I touch the toothpick to my forehead and then give it two kisses, one on each end. After that, I put it back in the waterproof match case and then inside the pocket of my duffel. If my mom was here, she wouldn't say a word. She'd just kiss my forehead and we'd walk out together. My stomach feels tight. There's an ache in my head. This is my first professional fight. I guess that means I'm not a girl. I'm a woman. I'm a woman, dressed in a shade of red that looks gray to me. I can grapple, punch, kick, yank, drag, smash, whip, slam, shred, and kill with a stare. You should hear the crowd. They're freaking out, chanting my mom's fight name. It's also my name. It's our name. Always will be. Pink, pink, pink.
Thank you for exploring with me on the Lucidess podcast. It is my hope that you discovered new wisdom within yourself and are inspired to live your unique strokes of genius.